got a mnemonic for you on the word staff. So the first word is stop. So we heard from the reading from Numbers about how God speaks to Moses because the people had been arguing about Moses' leadership. See, the backstory in Numbers 16, they were in the desert, wandering around the desert, and the Israelites had got fed up, some of them, with Moses leading. There was dissent. And for example, Korah, who was the son of Izhar, the son of Gohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abraham, sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, became insolent, and they rose up against Moses. With 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders, who'd been appointed members of the council. And they came as a group to oppose Moses, and Aaron said to them, "You've gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" Though there's a revolt against the leadership of Moses, God's appointed. And God gets angry. And in fact, Korah and his family are swallowed up like in a big hole that opens with a tent. And it's swallowed up and they're killed and all his family. And then the 250 bring their censers to the tabernacle and the flames, and God causes them to be killed. So God is angry about this revolt, about the leadership. So my first thing is stop to us. Stop arguing. Stop doubting. You know, rumors fly about. And we're great at joining on to rumors and talking against people behind their back, aren't we? And you can imagine, perhaps, even though Moses has led them out and did all the wonderful things of crossing the Red Sea, of all the plagues as they left Egypt, maybe some of them moaned about saying, "Well, you know, he spent 40 years in the Egyptian court with Pharaoh. What's he know?" They might have muttered about that. And then, "Oh, do you know, he killed an Egyptian, and yet he's trying to lead us. Or, do you know, he spent 40 years looking after sheep. What does he know about leading us through the desert?" So you can imagine the rumors that could have existed. And we're the same. We start by talking about other people and arguing and doubting, you know, and we can argue about almost nothing. I'll just tell you a little story about, it was mentioned the other day that a long time ago I was with a group of people from the commission in Brussels going to Rome to the ministry. And it was about the wine industry, so it was headed up by Spaniards. And one of the Spaniards, a very earnest man called Lewis, and they said in the meeting, when we got to the ministry, "Do you mind if we speak in Italian? Is that okay for everybody?" Everybody said, "Yeah, we can speak enough Italian to understand." And Lewis put up his hand and said, "Yeah, I can." Anyway, we came to leave, the meeting went on, and we went down in the lift, and the car was parked right by the ministry. But Lewis is up there arguing. And eventually, we wait and wait, eventually Lewis joins us in the car, and Carlos says to him, he said, I thought you didn't speak much Italian. He said, "And how did you understand what they said?" He said, "I don't speak much Italian, but I knew they were wrong." So arguing over nothing. And we're the same. We argue and we distort and we cause rumors. And this is what had happened. So stop arguing. Stop taking rumors and using them against other people. And stop doubting. So my next one is turn back to God. See, Moses spoke to the Israelites and their leaders when this had happened. And he said, bring the 12 staffs, one for each of the leaders of the ancestor tribes, and Aaron's staff, which was among them. Because God had said, place these in the tent of the meeting in front of the Ark of the Covenant law where I meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I rid myself. God said, I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites. Leadership is not easy. People grumble about what you do and what you say and how you move forward. And they were grumbling. And God said, I don't want them to continue to grumble, so I'm going to help by this intervention. So Moses obeys that. He turns back to God. It's interesting, this word staff, isn't it? We see them and we've put them in here. It's a kind of stick for support and defense. And what does it say in Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So God is our staff. God can support us. So when did staff become a word which we use for a group of employees? How did that happen? Because apparently the 18th century, or 19th century, I think, 19th century in Germany, a baton was a staff. And the staff sergeant came from that, and his men became his staff. So that's where, and we adopted it in the 19th century to say a group of employees. So the idea, I suppose, is that, you know, your staff support you and encourage you and lift you and are a team for defense. But they can also moan against you. They can also cause dissent. But God's staff is permanent and supportive. A staff we also use for a stave. It comes from stave, doesn't it? Which is a wood uprights in Wattle or Daub House. Or stave of a music score holds the notes up. So that sense of holding and structure is a staff. And we can think of the other staffs in the Bible. You know, Moses' staff, he used that to introduce the plagues, didn't he? He struck the rock for water in the desert of Zin. And when they stayed at Kadesh fighting the Amalekites, you know, it was held up, wasn't it? And as long as it was held up, they were winning. And we can think of David and Goliath. David had a staff. Elisha's staff to Gehazi, laid on the boy's face. But Jesus sent out the 70 with no staff. He wanted them to rely on God and the Holy Spirit to guide and support them. So we can have things that support us, like a staff, but we have to make sure we're always turning back to God. And what do we have to do? We have to ask him. The next day, Moses entered the tent and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the tribe of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. So here is Moses following God's instruction, putting the staffs in the holiest of holies. And when they go there, it's budded. So you ask for God's confirmation. Aaron's dead staff only bloomed after being placed in the tabernacle, God's presence. This shows us that true spiritual life flows not from human effort, but from the intimacy with God. Abide in me, and I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we do have to come in humility to the Lord when we're looking for guidance and asking him and have a deep relationship with him. And you know what? He will guide us. He will help us and direct us. So ask. Now you've asked. He's given you some guidance, but you've got to make sure you follow. And you've got to have the faith to follow. God brings life for what seems dead, Aaron's staff, which was dry wood, lifeless. Yet in God's hands it bore fruit. What a beautiful picture of the resurrection. From death we get life. No situation is too far gone for God to restore. He'll bring life from the dead, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in callings, or of our heart. It is so easy to follow our own wisdom, to think we know the answer. And we have to lean on the Lord and go with what He calls. And we here as a congregation admire Ruth and Brian for answering God's call to move to something new, a new ministry. To follow, to have the faith to follow. And we kept wondering, where are they going to live? And they said, well, God will provide. And He has, in a wonderful God incident way, to provide for them. And we're the same. How will we do this? How are these impossible things, Lord? He has the answer, and He has the provision. You see, it says in Hebrews that Sarah read, behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place in the covenant, which had the golden altar of incense, the gold-covered ark of the covenant, and this ark contained the gold jar of manna, the bread that provided for them over the 40 years, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. So it was God was providing for them this memory, because the ark went into the promised land, didn't it, before them, and it was there at the center of their worship. And in it was a reminder, I appoint the leaders. You follow the leaders I appoint. Don't go off and rebel against them. Find the unity. And we can ask for the Lord to bless our unity together, that the Holy Spirit guides us and we are together in deciding on our leaders. Leaders for all levels. So, it is a picture also of going on. We don't have the ark anymore, we have Jesus. And the reading says in Hebrews that this is God's appointed leader. My own son. And it's him who I should follow. So my last one is F for fix your eyes. You see, the Israelites in verse 12 of Numbers 17 said to Moses, we'll die. We're lost. We're all lost. Anyone who ever comes near the tabernacle of the Lord will die. We're all going to die. They'd seen this amazing miracle take place. And they were frightened of the authority of the Lord and of not following Him. But this is only was a shadow, as Hebrews says, of what was to come. For Jesus would tear away the veil into the most holiest of holiest. And we have access to the Lord Himself. So Jesus is the one we fix our eyes on. And He will guide us. So stop arguing. Stop rumor mongering. Turn back to God. Ask Him to guide us. Follow as He leads us. And fix our eyes on Jesus. And what will that do? What will that do, Tony? Provide you with an abundant life as He promised. I will give you life, life in all its fullness. Yes. You know, I had the opportunity to speak to somebody at St. Andrew's, was sat on the bench, you know, like they do in front there. And anyway, I came out of the shop and for another reason, but anyway, I spoke to him. And sadly, he didn't have any faith. And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't, he'd had a sadness in his life years ago and was holding on to that sadness and saying that that's why I can't accept the existence of God and Jesus. So the Holy Spirit said to me, don't go there arguing about it, just tell him your testimony. And I told him this verse, and that's my verse, that's our verse. I have come that you have life in all its fullness. And my life, I told him, has been so rich, not monetarily, but in relationships and experiences and in just wonderful people who also love Jesus all over the world. So go out knowing that Aaron's staff budded, but it was only a foretaste of the amazing miracle of life brought back to Jesus as he conquered death. Now we're going to sing a song.